The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Chef Curry cooking. Dude, the Warriors need another all-time great performance. They have another chance tonight against Boston. Plus, it's the boldest decision so far in the finals. Draymond's benching in the fourth quarter Friday night. Should Steve Kerr consider doing it again tonight? Did you hear what Tyreek Hill had to say on his podcast? Was he taking a shot at his former quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, while complimenting his new one, Tua? Find out. This is Get Up. And a good morning. I'm Kevin Nagani in for Greeny, who is hosting NBA Countdown tonight live from San Francisco. It's a busy morning in front of us. Marcus Spears, Mike Tannenbaum, and Kimberly A. Martin all set to talk about mandatory minicamp, as well as we're talking hoops with these guys, J.J. Redick, Vince Carter, and Amari Stoudemire. Let's get to Game 5 and the big question here heading into the matchup in San Francisco. Can Steph Curry do another encore performance? Friday night, Curry had 43 points. Masterpiece to help the Warriors tie the series. It was the seventh time he's posted 40 or more in a playoff game in his career. How about seven triples in game four in the series so far? 25 threes. Curry's seven behind the record for most three-pointers, a record he set in 2016 in the finals. Curry so far averaging over 34 points per, highest scoring average in any of the six NBA finals he's appeared in. His Splash Brother weighing in.
It takes a lot of mental fortitude to stay hungry and want more and more after so much success. And Steph is the embodiment of that. The man is never satisfied. He just continues to mesmerize the world with his talent.
All right, let's put things into perspective here, and let's bring in a couple guys and somebody else also who knows all about shooting from the outside, Amari Stoudemire, as well as Vince Carter and J.J. Redick. J.J., let's start with you. Could this be the defining series here for Steph Curry's career, as it now is a best of three?
I absolutely think so. And when you look at the context of this, the Warriors essentially being out of this stage for 2 years, him not winning a finals MVP yet, and clearly being the best player in this series. And then the context of going against this Celtics defense, which as we know was the number one defense in the league this season, and looked so stout through three rounds of the playoffs so far. And what he's done against this defense is nothing short of remarkable. And I just want to comment on that Klay Thompson quote, which I love. And what Klay is talking about there is competitive stamina. And to me, that's what separates the greats from the all-time greats. And Steph has competitive stamina in spades.
Vince, you want to weigh in on what you've seen so far from Steph and what you need to see to close out this series?
Well, first and foremost, we've heard a lot of people say they thought Steph's legacy, which it is, was solidified already with or without an MVP. But people now have to say, you know what? He is earning and deserving of that MVP, and he is now opening that elite door that a lot of us that didn't even know existed of the greats who step into the next room where there's not as many people there because what he's doing at his height, his age, and his ability to be a little guy to get into the paint and score, to like JJ said, his stamina to be able to just withstand and do all of the things he's doing with the movement and just playing lights out basketball. I mean, Steph Curry, if they win this, I think he deserves it, and he is showing it.
Amari, how would you define what you've seen the first four games from Steph?
I mean, he's incredible, man. If we sit back and watch his greatness and really understand what type of player we're witnessing here, like you know, the perseverance that he went through throughout his high school career, not being recruited much, then going to college and becoming this great player, I think it's remarkable. And the way he plays the game is something that we haven't seen before. And yes, I feel like if he does win his finals championship this year, this is going to define his career. This is going to put him on another level. And we have to truly appreciate his greatness.
All right, so here's an interesting scenario. Does Steph need another 40-point game for the Warriors to win Game 5 tonight at home here, JJ?
He's got to score, and he's got to be great. I think the big question mark about coverage is basically how do the Celtics play him in pick and roll? That's the big question mark going into Game 5.
So, whoa, just answer the question, though. Does he need to score over 40
Thank you,
points?
Kevin.
No, he doesn't need to score. No, he can have 38, and okay. they could win. I mean,
Vince, does he need to hit that 40-point mark here? He had 43. They needed all 43 points.
Yeah, I think he needs it. I said 35-plus. I think he needs at least 35 to play because they're playing home. You're hoping that some of your guys will play a little better and give you a little more. They need another 20-point score to go with Steph. Obviously, he's capable of getting 40. So I think JJ and I are really close together. I say 35-plus. He's saying 38, but below 40. So that means we're close. Right?
Okay, Omari, let's jump in here. It's for you now. Does he need to go over the 40-point mark to get a win tonight?
No, I don't think so. I think if he just have a great game offensively and his teammates step up and play well alongside of him, they will have enough to win the game. But I don't think he needs to have a 40-point game to win tonight. I think the Warriors are equipped to win even if he doesn't, if he falls a little bit short of 40.
All right, what's your number here? Falling just short of 40, is that 38? Is that 39?
Yeah, I'm with Vince in this. I think 35 and up would be a great mark for him.
Okay, now here's the next question here because you guys – understand the idea of shooting and getting hot in the zone. What does Boston need to do to slow Steph down here specifically tonight coming off that pick and roll here, JJ?
Well, they've shown a real reluctance to blitz at all in this series. They've only blitzed Steph Curry three times in pick and rolls. They played primarily drop coverage, and Steph has just eviscerated that coverage. For context, league best offense is 1.16 points per possession. When Steph Curry shoots in this series against drop coverage, he's getting 1.42 points per possession. He's absolutely crushing this coverage. And they've shown a real reluctance to blitz because of what Dallas did in that Western Conference Finals. When they blitz, the Golden State Warriors played 4-on-3 on the backside. They got open threes. They got back cuts for layups. That's why they're not blitzing. They don't want to get into rotation.
Too much agreement so far between Duke and North Carolina, Vince. I saw you shaking your head. Weigh in here. What do you think? How would you defend?
Exactly right. I mean, the best coverage, in my opinion, is get the ball out of Steph's hands. Steph's ability to move without the ball once he gets off the ball kills teams. At the same time, he's so unselfish. And now what that will do is get other guys going because they're seeing easy layups. They're getting easy buckets, uncontested layups, 4-on-3 on the back end, like JJ's saying. So it's kind of a situation where it's like, who are we going to, you know, dedicate or dictate who's going to be the guy to score for them that's not Steph Curry, but you can't get the drop coverage because of Steph's ability to do multiple things as well as shoot or get off the ball. So it's a lose-lose for Boston.
Okay, it is one storyline heading into Game 5. We will get to another huge storyline, and that is the situation of how much will you play Draymond Green. That's coming up here on Get Up. Let's get to the NFL, guys. Thank you so much. And let's talk about one conversation that you kind of turned your head when you heard it. Dolphins star Tyreek Hill says he was underutilized in Kansas City, and that's not all. Now, in a brand-new podcast called It Needed to Be Said, Hill was asked by the host about his former quarterback and his current QB. Listen to this.
Who got the strongest arm? Tua or Pat Mahomes? Tua or Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, like, I'm going to go with 1-5 as the strongest arm, but as far as accuracy-wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
So which one would you rather have? The deep ball where you got to scramble around the field to try to go find it? But you want that accuracy to hit you right in the bread basket on the run?
I want it to hit me right in the bread basket, just like I did in the Buffalo Bills game, and take it 70.
Okay, Kimberly A. Martin, Marcus Spears, and Mike Tannenbaum joining us. Yeah, I heard the sigh. You want to take it away here, Swagoo? What's your reaction to what you just heard from Tyreek?
Nah, that was Kmart sighing. That wasn't me sighing. Listen, man, I hear Tyreek, and obviously you wanna big up the team that you're with. Being underutilized, Tyreek Hill caught 111 balls last year. That's number one. The second thing is Tyreek Hill done practiced with Tua for 6 hours. All right? And it don't matter about accuracy in practice. It matters about accuracy when you got defensive linemen breathing down your neck. And can you put it there? So right now, look, we just coming off a conversation 2 years ago about Patrick Mahomes being the best quarterback to ever play in the NFL from a talent standpoint. All right? Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes ain't lost anything about his personal and individual ability because Tyreek Hill left. He may not have as good of a successful season because he doesn't have that explosiveness, but that is TBD. But ultimately, when Tyreek says accuracy, Tua is an accurate quarterback. But Tua is throwing in OTAs right now. So let's just give it a minute before we start having these guys comparable. He's won a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. He's caught 111 passes last year. He's been an all-pro, a pro bowler, and it led the way to getting him $150 million from the Miami Dolphins. Let's pump the brakes a little bit on the comparisons from Tyreek Hill. Let us do that.
All right, Mark, hold on for a second. Let's go to the one who had the original side, Kmart. What exactly is Hill saying, and what is he meaning in this entire podcast?
Kevin, I feel like this is something that didn't need to be said, actually, because it's cute. I get it. They love each other. This is his new team. This is what you're supposed to do. I think Tyreek is unknowingly setting Tua up to have even more pressure on him, because this is a situation where coming to the season, the stakes are already high for Tua. There are questions about whether he can be the guy long term with a new head coach in place. So when you start comparing Tua and Patrick Mahomes, now everybody's going to watch Tua, and if he falters, then we're going to go back to these comments from Tyreek, say, what happened to all that accuracy? What happened to – what happened – you see? No, just didn't need to be said.
All right, before we get to Mike T, our research team, fantastic research squad, they brought in some context here because it's not just the comment. Let's understand accuracy, and there are layers here. Specifically 1 to 15 yards in the air and the pass attempts, the completion percentage. The different storyline here, Mike T, is 15 yards or more. The pass attempts and the accuracy.
Oh, no.
A completely different story here. Mike T, if you're the GM of the Dolphins, how are you handling this conversation with Tyreek?
Well, first of all, Tyreek, I'm giving you an A++ for intentions of a teammate. Obviously, his intentions are well intended. However, well done is better than well said. And as Swaghu said, you know, they've been out there for about 6 minutes together. So go string some wins together, and then you can start comparing Tua to the best quarterback on the planet. Patrick Mahomes is the number one player on the planet. Tua is fighting for his life as a star in the NFL. It's apples and oranges, but Tyreek, we appreciate your intention is in the right place.
Marcus, if you're in that locker room, do you say anything to Tyreek, or how do you play this out?
No, I don't say nothing to him because Tyreek Hill is phenomenal. You say what you want to say. But to Kmart's point, you are putting more pressure on the young quarterback that's not already there. And then, too, Kev, see, this is what pissed me off sometimes on television. That graphic that y'all pulled up about them 15-plus air yards, do you see that it is 53 more attempts, okay, that Patrick Mahomes has? That matters. If I take 100 threes and somebody hit 4 for 4, they 100% three-point shooter, and I'm probably shooting 30%. Y'all better stop doing it. Don't get me going on a Monday morning like that, okay? Just let Tyreek Hill talk. He's doing the right thing. Let us reiterate. He's stressing and talking about his quarterback and trying to build him up leading into a season where he knows that Tua has to play well. But ultimately, this ain't the comparison to make, Tyreek. That's the only advice that I would give him.
I will come to the defense of our research team. There was a reason why we put attempts to add that perspective, right? To add to the conversation that you can't judge the numbers wise. If you look at specifically the percentages, it could be skewed, like you said. Steph Curry's taking a lot more threes than, you know, Marcus Spears. But Marcus is 4 for 4. He's at 100%. All right, so I completely get it. I'm with you.
Thank you, Kev.
This three and this trio.
Research,
right
I love
back.
Y'all. Y'all know I'm not mad at y'all. I just wanted to provide a little bit.
You added the context. Yeah. Coming up, did you see what Devontae Adams had to say about Derek Carr? Did he really, another comparison, compare him to Aaron Rodgers? We're talking about that next with our trio. Plus, Steve Kerr's bold decision. Was he right to bench Draymond in the fourth quarter on Friday? And should he do it again tonight? This is Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back here Monday morning, get up. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, check out these seats at the RBC Heritage over the weekend. Coined as Skyline Seats, this is a 22-seat bar being held up by a crane. Fans could enjoy this for 30 minutes to watch the first and 18th holes. Marcus, Kimberly, Mike T, first off, Kimberly, you said no immediately. Why?
Nope. Mm-mm. Keep me on the ground. Now, I have jumped out of a plane. I have jumped out of a plane, but that was quick. That's too long. 30 minutes? No. Mm. Testing the limits of gravity there. No, thank you.
So I had to do some research. Apparently it's 30 minutes because let's just say you got to take a bathroom break. You're at a bar, right? Swagoo, how you handling it?
How I'm handling it? I ain't up there, Kev. What you mean how I'm handling it? What? Ooh, I'm dangling from a crane. To watch what they the Canadian man. Listen, ask Mike T about this. I would know nothing about this. I get nervous on the third floor balcony, let alone sitting up in the damn crane. Talking about I'm at a bar.
Mike T, how you doing?
What is the operator?
Would you be the only
drunk
one in this group
then
to do
what?
It? Would you do it, Mike T?
No, I wouldn't do it. But my bigger concern is, and for those who have played golf with me, will see this as no surprise. But with some of my wayward drives, hit those poor people up there. I do get on the course from time to time here. And if you look carefully, you can see a lot of my balls in the fescue. So I'm just worrying about the people up there for their own well-being.
Yeah, I would do it. I jumped out of the plane too, Kimberly. I would do it for 30 minutes. Definitely. I would try it.
Better than me.
I'll be the only one. Swagoo back with us. Let's play a little. What's up, Swagoo? All right, now, beginning with your Cowboys. I love this topic. What's up with Dallas looking to get Tony Pollard more touches this season?
They better get him some touches, Kev. Listen, this is a no-brainer. We saw how explosive Tony Pollard was last year with the ball in his hands. And I got mad at the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, Kellen Moore, for not getting him touches. And this ain't just handoffs. Get him the ball out of the backfield, throw it to him, get him in space, and let him make plays. This is one of the simplest things that needs to happen in the NFL this year. Kellen Moore, hope you're listening. Get the man some more touches in any way you can because he's explosive.
All right, the biggest storyline, I think, underneath all the conversation in the NFL, mandatory minicamp. What's up with Lamar Jackson with the Ravens here?
Look, I could care less, Kev. Listen, this man about to get a boatload of money. Lamar Jackson is the offense. They are very confident that he's going to play well. It might help that the rest of his team comes back healthy. The one thing I would say is that Lamar needs to turn down the turnovers that he had from last year. Outside of that, Lamar Jackson is going to ball out. He's going to get paid. He's going to take the Ravens far into the playoffs. Yes, I said it, with a healthy football team.
Davante Adams leaving Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. What's up with Adams and Rodgers' relationship, Swagoo?
Listen, I told y'all this a long time ago, but sometimes when I say it, they you know, it's well, Swagoo hating. No, I'm not. How in the hell you don't think that Aaron Rodgers not knowing if he gonna come back, gonna play into Davante Adams, making his mind up about whether to stay in Green Bay or leave? I know his best friend is in Las Vegas. I know he loves Derek Carr and he gonna live and bought a nice big house, but ultimately, you cannot go on unknowns. You're a receiver. You depend on having a quarterback that can get you to rock. And when you don't know if that quarterback is going to come back and play for the team that you've been playing with, who you've been having a tremendous amount of success with, that may lead you to other greener pastures.
You brought up his best friend. Adams was asked to compare his new quarterback, that is his best friend, Derek Carr, to his former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Take a listen to this.
that's just like comparing me to like Jerry Rice. You know, it'd be tough to do because Jerry's put together what he's done, and it's undeniable respect for him. And me, I'm still going, and there's still a lot that I got to do to be able to be mentioned with Jerry, and I'm aware of that, and I think Derek is also aware of that, you know, from a big picture. But as far as talent and ability, I mean, it's really similar. If I'm keeping it real,
Marcus, after what you just heard there, is Devontae taking a jab there at Aaron with these comments?
I don't think so. Listen, I want pettiness and mess because it's June and we don't have nothing else to do. But I think it's more about him talking about Derek Carr's talent. Look, I think Derek Carr is, like, supremely talented. We saw him last year carry this Las Vegas team, got him into the playoffs, had a tremendous arm, was clutch late in games, made a tremendous amount of plays. But really, it's about what have you done. And look, I don't know. We're going to call this Comparison Monday, okay? Devontae know more about Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr than I do. But I know what I've watched, and I know that I ain't never had Derek Carr name in the same sentence with Aaron Rodgers. Uh-uh. So I'm just going to go with that until something tells me differently. Not saying Derek Carr is not a high-level player. Not saying he's a high-level quarterback. He's played well. He's going to continue to play well. But when we start talking about Aaron Rodgers and talent and ability, his has showed up a hell of a lot more than Derek Carr's over the course of their career. So I'm going to go with the guy in Green Bay.
There is another storyline on this, at least with the Devontae Adams comments over the last week here. Mike T, you know, the idea of knowing what's in front of you, the future, knowing stability, knowing who's going to be the quarterback. How much does that play a role here with the Packers in this window of winning a Super Bowl?
You nailed it, Kevin. Actions speak louder than words. Devontae Adams walked away from one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time in Aaron Rodgers and went to play with somebody that he knows and he trusts in Derek Carr. And players are always going to act in their own best self-interest, and he wanted to get off that Aaron Rodgers roller coaster, take a little less money, and go to a place where he knows there'll be stability for years to come.
Kimberly, how do you interpret this?
I thought Devontae did a better job than Tyreek as far as describing apples versus oranges, right? But once you compare ability and talent that between these two guys, it raises eyebrows. Clearly, Derek Carr can do great things. But I'm curious if, unlike Patrick Mahomes, who probably won't care about Tyreek's comments, I'm wondering if Aaron Rodgers might be a little needled that somebody thinks somebody like Derek Carr is similar to him when it comes to talent and ability.
As we've seen in the past, Aaron just blows comments off all the time. It doesn't ever affect him, right? Just bounces off. He doesn't keep receipts. We'll see how this plays out, of course, especially with Devontae weighing in. Guys, thank you. Coming up, it's the boldest decision in the finals so far. Draymond's benching in the fourth quarter. Should Steve Kerr consider doing it again tonight? Plus, Zion showing off in front of some kids. Jaws are dropping and answering questions about his future. Is he a max player? We'll talk about it next.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back to the NBA here on Get Up, where Draymond Green's poor play in the finals has been the subject of much conversation. In game four, he sat for a 4-minute stretch during the fourth quarter, benched by Steve Kerr, and that changed the entire outlook for the Warriors. When Draymond was subbed out halfway point of the fourth quarter, the Warriors won an 11-3 run against the Celtics in Game 4. Golden State had entered the pivotal run, trailing by 5, then took a 3-point lead under the 4-minute mark. And then Kerr went back to Draymond the final 3 minutes of that game. Of course, the big storyline is the Warriors winning that game to even up the series. It's bring back JJ as well as Vince and Amari. And our man, Marcus Spears, who's more passionate about basketball than football. We'll get Marcus in a moment here. But I do want to start, and this is a big theme here. If we have a close game, guys, specifically moving forward the rest of the series and sitting Draymond during the fourth quarter here, Vince, did Steve Kerr find a blueprint here moving forward the rest of the series?
So, guys, this frustrates me a lot because I don't see anything here. I think it's the right decision, and it's an in-game decision by Steve Kerr, and that just shows the greatness of Steve Kerr understanding, yeah, he is my star. He has championships, but at this moment, we need scoring. We need more scoring. He wasn't hitting shots. He's not aggressive. He's not looking at the rim. He's trying to make the right plays, but they need to see the ball go in from that position. So you put guys in who can knock down shots or who are making shots at that time, and then you bring them back if need be. And I think he learned something from the Dallas series, game 4, if I'm not mistaken, when the second unit played great. And then once they got back in, and he did the mass subbing of putting his starters back in, and then they lost the lead again instead of maybe just trickling in starters with your subs. So I think he learned something. And at that moment, it was the right decision to bring in some scoring instead of Draymond at that moment.
JJ,
and he put him back in. So yeah, what's the problem?
Exactly. And JJ, is this the right thing to go moving forward here if we're in the final 7-8 minutes of a game and it's a 5-point game and the Warriors need to find offensive firepower?
Well, I agree with Vince to an extent because I do think this is a game-to-game decision. The coach has one agenda, and that's trying to put your team in a position to win a basketball game, and I thought that decision was the right decision in Game 4. But just to put a little context on this, of all the lineups in this series for either team, the Warriors' regular starting five with Kevon Looney and Draymond Green have the best plus-minus in this series. Some of Draymond's struggles to me are because of what we talked about earlier, and that is that the Celtics are not blitzing. And he is so good getting downhill on that blitz pass, that little short roll. He gets 4-on-3. He's able to pick defenses apart. And he just hasn't had those opportunities in this series. And he's done a decent job of trying to create pace when he gets a defensive rebound or when he gets a stop. But in the half court, he has really struggled. And so I do think it is a game-to-game decision about what you need at that moment going down the stretch. But some of this, of course, is how the Celtics are guarding the Warriors.
Amari, how much is this about confidence? Because there were some moments in the second half of Game 4 where I saw Draymond have an easy look under the bucket, and then he passes out. And it gave me shades of Ben Simmons here, that his confidence is so low, he doesn't want to miss, and he needs to funnel the basketball out. How much is this about confidence?
I think his confidence is there, but I think the most part with Draymond is that he looks to facilitate so much to where he doesn't look to score.
Yeah.
And so scoring, yeah, scoring right now is kind of out of the question for him. And I feel like, you know, if he's I think it was a great decision by Steve Kerr by also making that decision by bringing him off the bench or benching him during that stretch, because you have to make decisions in the playoffs. The playoffs are made of runs and decisions, and you have to make the right decision, I think. But Draymond Green is not an offensive player. Yeah, he's never was an offensive player. So I feel like if you're able to somewhat provide some scoring, it can help. But this is going to be the ideal going forward with Draymond, where if he can't score in the fourth quarter, he's going to go to the bench.
Marcus, was this the difference in the series, this decision by Steve Kerr to bench Draymond in that four-minute stretch?
It could be something we talk about if the Golden State Warriors get this done. And listening to these guys and understanding the game in my own right, at times in a basketball game throughout the course of it, your effectiveness is dictated by the pace and how the game is playing out. And that's really what this boils down to. Every coach has a decision to make about a particular player when he lacks a skill set that's needed in certain times in a particular game. That's Draymond. To the point that these guys just made, if you need a facilitator, a defender, somebody to scramble, get on the floor, it's time for Draymond to be in the game. If you need five guys in the basketball game that can create a shot or get a bucket or knock down an open look, that ain't the time to have Draymond in the game. I think it's that in its simplest form. we all respect Draymond Green. We all understand what Draymond Green means to the Golden State Warriors. But when it comes to putting the ball in the cup, and you have to do that at a very high level against the Boston Celtics, good defensive team outside of stopping Steph, you got to figure out a way to manufacture points. And Draymond ain't going to do that for you just knocking shots down.
Vince, 22 years in the league, you've dealt with the highs and lows and, of course, times where you don't have confidence. What advice would you give Draymond there, especially on the offensive side, if there is no confidence?
Well, Kevin, first and foremost, I've been in that position where bench for not playing. I think we all have been in that position before. And yes, it's a gut punch to you, but, you know, Draymond's a winner. He wants to win, first and foremost. But for Draymond, I think the cure for it is be aggressive. Try to get down here. Some of the things that JJ said, yes, they're taking away the double team, but in pick and rolls and dribble handoffs is where he's made his bread and butter as far as getting easy layups. Or just wide open shots. You just have to shoot them with confidence. That may not still go in, but it's now you want that defense to respect you on the offensive end. So I just say be aggressive instead of just not look at the rim because it is right there.
Okay, JJ, here. This is the stat here to sum up for some people to keep them on the bench. 17 total points, 18 total fouls in the first four games of the finals. What do you need to see from Draymond tonight?
It's a great stat, and let's be frank, Draymond has been awful offensively in this series. Like he doesn't get a pass for being bad on that end of the floor. I think we've all touched on this. You know, when Draymond is at his best, he is a playmaker. He is a facilitator. And although he's had a slow and steady decline in his counting stats in terms of points per game throughout his career, he's always averaged double figures in the finals. He's always played well in the finals. This is an aberration in the six finals that he's played in. To Vince's point, the aggressiveness has to be there. Like, I have a shooter's mentality. I'm going to go down taking my shots, and I'm willing to lose that way.
JJ Redick.
Well, that's Marcus. That's because I'm one of the greatest shooters ever. I mean, that's why. I mean, come on.
I know.
All right, stick around, guys. We got Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, 9 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio. We've got another storyline here in the NBA, but I want to remind our audience: series tied at 2 games apiece, heading back to San Francisco. Our coverage tipping off with NBA Countdown with Greeny hosting at 8:30 Eastern, and don't forget Sports Center at 6 p.m. We got you live coverage. L. Duncan there, myself here in the studio, leading up to all the events later on tonight. All right, another storyline. Our next stop, New Orleans. Zion Williamson reiterated his desire to be with the Pelicans organization. That's the old school Zion there with the dunk at the YMCA camp. Zion, in front of the kids, was asked about a max extension. He flashed a smile and said, quote, "You have to ask the Pels, baby. It's not a big decision," according to David Griffin. "It's a pretty easy decision. The kid's historically good. When he plays, this is a max player that's easy." I agree, David. Again, when he plays. So let's get to that conversation, JJ. Should the Pelicans, in this situation, with the unknown about his health, offer Zion a max extension?
This is a pretty easy decision to me as well. Yes, you max him out, but I was Joel Embiid's teammate in the fall of 2017. They put protections on his rookie max extension in terms of games played. He had to qualify to get those guarantees down the line. I absolutely think you should max him with a similar contract to what they signed Joel Embiid in 2017.
Vince, should they give him a max?
See, Kevin, this is the Duke guy looking out for a Duke guy. We're going to start there. So it doesn't really matter what he says. So you shouldn't really ask JJ first. We're going to start there. But no, I say no right now because of health, and you want to make sure he's healthy. And can he stay healthy? Can he keep his weight down? Because that's important for an athletic guy like that, in my opinion. I like what JJ's saying as far as protections. You put incentives in there where he can get that money. If you do it that way, maybe you look into it. But, you know, from an organizational side, you hear what David Griffin said. He's speaking loud and clear. If he's available and he's healthy, we it's possible. But you know, that's a big if right now because of what we've seen so far.
Amari, I'm curious
about
your
thoughts. But he deserves max money.
Yeah, he deserves it if he's healthy. Amari, I'm curious about your thoughts here, considering health and where he was and where you were in the start of your career. You were considered a franchise player. You went through some health issues here. Would you give him the max? That is Zion.
Yeah, I think you know what? First of all, I will give him the max depending on his health, right? And I think David Griffin's going to have a nice sit-down with Zion and speak to him personally about, you know, his shape, his dedication toward the game of basketball. And if you feel as if Zion's committed to the game of basketball to play at a high level, then yes, I will give him the max. But again, you have to have some type of stipulations because you want to make sure that this guy is focused on basketball and he wants to keep himself in optimum shape to succeed as a player. So it's very tricky because, you know, you want him on the court and health is the main ingredient here. But I do feel like I will offer him the max if he's ready to play.
Yeah, one part of this conversation, too, as we look at the layers, if you do give him a max, you have also the ability to trade him and get in multiple picks and multiple – if you find a team that needs that superstar power, a.k.a. the New York Knicks here. So, Swaggoo, give us an idea with you from that region of New Orleans and Louisiana. Yeah. What does Zion mean to the future of this franchise with the Pelicans?
He means a great deal. This was a playoff team this year, and with Zion, you can make an argument that they potentially would have went deeper if he would have been available. And to every GM, football, basketball, whatever sport we're talking about, you're gambling. You're making a bet. You want to bet on all of the sure things that you can possibly find. And what these guys bring up about health and availability in basketball obviously is a big deal. I go to another layer of this. Also, you give Zion the max contract, guess what the arena going to look like? Every damn seat going to be filled. Mm. Every game that he plays, there's a business element to that as well that you have to factor in. I think you give him the max deal. I'm along with the guys. You put stipulations in there. But ultimately, when you sit down with Zion, you try to gauge his commitment level to being available and really putting himself into basketball shape and continuing to be that, because he can be a cornerstone piece to you elevating that franchise. But that arena going to be packed because I'm going to be in there as the resident Pelican fan.
Vince, weigh in here on the idea of the impact of Zion in the future.
I just have a question for the panel and whoever wants to answer it. Okay, you give him the max, and like you said, this is a tough decision. He's going to pack that arena, no doubt. If it's a 4 or 5 years, what happens if he's injured year three again, weight issues 4 or 5, and you've committed that money to him then? What happens then in your mind, guys?
You're screwed.
I mean, that's the risk of it all. And Kevin, I do want to bring up a point that Kevin brought up, which I think is a good point. This idea that you're going to trade Zion on his rookie contract. He's going to make $12 million next year. His value is much higher than that. It's a very similar thing to Ben Simmons when the Philly news media was talking about trading him when he was still on his rookie contract. You got to get to his extension. You've got to hit that fifth year where now you can get equal value back for someone making $30 or $35 million. JJ, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you. I've seen this experience before in Philadelphia. It does not go well, as we have seen that play out after the max deal was handed out. All right, that felt good. Coming up, Bruce Arians with a fascinating admission about Tom Brady's return and his departure from Tampa. You'll hear what he said, and we'll ask what it means next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Kevin Agati here this Monday morning on Get Up, filling in for Greeny. Back to the NFL. Let's play a game of big deal or no big deal. Kimberly, Ravens start mandatory minicamp this week. Is it a big deal that Lamar hasn't been present yet this offseason?
I'm going to disagree with my buddy Marcus Spears. It is a big deal. Anything regarding Lamar is a big deal until he signs and gets the bag, because the Ravens want to pay him, and no one understands why he doesn't come to the table and collect the money that he's earned. This is very unorthodox, so it is a big deal.
Swagoo, DK Metcalf not at Seahawks minicamp. Big deal or no big deal?
Oh, it's a big deal. Russell Wilson just left and went to Denver. You got Noah Fant, who I think is going to send to a great player, but DK Metcalf is a franchise. He's the face. And in order for any one of these quarterbacks that they may use to have success, DK Metcalf is going to be a large part of that. This is a huge deal for the Seahawks.
Listen to this story. This is Mike Tease. Bruce Arians mentioned he would have kept coaching had Tom Brady stayed retired to help Todd Bowles out. Big deal or no big deal?
Oh, it's a big deal. It says so much about Bruce Arians that Todd Bowles is left in a position to be successful with a world-class quarterback in Tom Brady. And behind him, Kevin, are just question marks. Blaine Gabbert, Kyle Trask. So this puts Coach Bowles in a great position to be successful.
All right, now Arians elaborated on the depth of the Bucs QB room before he walked away, saying this to the Tampa Bay Times. I was fine with the two we had, that is Blaine Gabbert and Kyle Trask, because I've seen Blaine win with a good team behind him. Had Tom not come back, I probably will still be coaching. I couldn't give Todd that situation. Kimberly A., you've been close to this situation. What was your biggest takeaway here from Arians' comments? Because I think most people will say, oh, there's a rift here between B.A. and Brady. There's something more to this story.
Yeah, you heard Mike Tannenbaum talk about Todd being in a situation with a world-class QB. That's a situation that from the conversations I've had with black coaches, that they talk about rarely being in the position to have a great QB or join a team that's in position to draft a young quarterback who's top tier, or being given a situation where they're given a long leash. And this is, I think, Bruce Arians, the great thing about him and why he's praised so much is because he is purposeful in the moves that he makes. These are his boys, and he felt that Todd Bowles wasn't given a fair shake in New York, and he felt he was frustrated that after they won the Super Bowl that Todd didn't get a head coaching job. Todd Bowles now in a position to be a head coach again, but because Bruce Arians stepped down and stepped aside, I think he's set his friend up for success, and that's a situation that a lot of black coaches feel they are rarely given the opportunity to have.
Well said. Mike T, the Todd Bowles experience, it was a mixed bag in New York if you look at win-loss. What are your expectations for him in Tampa?
Sky high. I actually think they got better at head coach at the head coach position this year. I work with Todd Bowles. He's outstanding. And I'll take it a step further, guys. If you compare the resume of Bill Belichick when he left Cleveland and Todd Bowles when he left New York, I'm hard-pressed to find a difference. And I think Todd Bowles is an upgrade over Bruce Arians. This team is going to play differently. I've worked with defensive head coaches like Rex Ryan, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, Eric Mangini. The way they coach the game, the way they manage the game is differently. This team will make less mistakes. They'll have less turnovers. I think they'll have less penalties. And I think Todd Bowles is an upgrade over Bruce Arians. And because of that, I think they have a real chance to win the Super Bowl
so
this year.
I got to hear your thoughts after what you just heard from Mike T.
I understand it in context, man. But B.A. was the head coach of this team when they won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So I'm not going to go as far as to say that. We still got to wait on Todd Bowles. I think he's in a better situation. And I think that's what Mike T is getting at. Todd Bowles is in a tremendous situation. Also, what Kmart talked about, having a franchise quarterback. Hey, y'all, last time I checked, you got to have really good players to be a good coach anyway, okay? We get enamored with all of these coaches, and rightfully so, because they make a difference in games, especially with decision-making. But if you ain't got Tom Brady, you ain't winning no Super Bowl, i.e., they ain't win one before we got to Tampa. So at the end of the day, when you look at Todd Bowles in this particular situation, understanding how to be a head coach, how to run an organization, but also having Tom Brady to help facilitate as almost a coach in the locker room, a veteran that has seen everything you could possibly see in this league, bringing back a lot of guys that were a part of a Super Bowl run with that understanding. To Kmart's point, Todd Bowles is in a better situation, and we might not sit here and look at Mike T crazy 2 or 3 years down the road because he may experience that same type of success in this year alone.
And Kimberly, hey, let's not forget here for the audience, Byron Leftwich is also there with Tom Brady. He was a coaching candidate for several job openings in that conversation here. So it feels like Todd got the defense here and managed the team, and then we've got Byron and Brady together on the offense.
Yeah, I was down there in 2019 talking to Byron and Todd and Bruce Arians, and Byron had told me, look, I've been by Bruce's side this entire time. People just don't realize that everywhere Bruce has been, like, I'm right by his side. So Tom and Byron Leftwich have a great relationship. There's still going to be questions, and this year sets up for Byron and Todd and Tom Brady to answer them all in Bruce Arians' absence.
Okay, cannot wait as you take a look at the – when we take a look at the idea of the odds, Vegas loves They love where the Bucks sit here in the NFC. Coming up, what can Steph Curry do for an encore tonight? Do the Warriors need another all-time great performance from their star to win Game 5? Must Steph go over 40 points? We'll ask our crew.